right, so tonight is going to be a good word. Good word. It's going to be a good. That's what I tell somebody. Say, oh, that's going to be a good word. And they said, well, all the words are good. So it's like, praise the Lord. Yeah, so I guess I'm pretty safe in saying that then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight I want to share some thoughts, and we're just going to look at two or three scriptures, and I have something special for you at the end, a little bit of homework for you at the end that will be good for you and it will help you. But I want to talk tonight just about the established heart, establishing your heart on the Word of God. So many times people they hear a message and then they go off trying to be the faith giant, but they haven't taken time to establish their hearts on the Word of God. And we're going to see how important that is. Even in this first verse that we're going to look at tonight, it's going to help us to see where this is so important. But look at me to Psalm chapter 112. Psalm 112. There are 150 chapters in the book of Psalm. We're going to look at Psalm 112 tonight. And I'm going to read that out of the New King James, and then pretty much everything else except for one of your homework assignments will be in New Living. Sound like a Bible school teacher doing one of your homework assignment. Maybe that's prophetic. Amen. Psalm 112 in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed is the man or the person who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, I want to stop right there. We're going to jump down to verse 6 in just a moment. But in verse 1, I want you to see this. Why is this person blessed? First of all, let's look at the word blessed, because the word blessed means empowered to prosper, empowered to be successful, empowered to overcome, empowered to prosper, right? So blessed is the person who fears the Lord, not fear as in just, I mean, there is a healthy fear of the Lord, but not just in being afraid of the Lord. I mean, if you're not right with God, you should fear and fear greatly. But for those of us here, I do believe everyone here is saved. But for those who know God, it means to have a healthy respect and an honor and a reverence for God. But it says here, it says, blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments, or you could say in his word, right? His commandments, his word, right? Why is this person blessed? It's because they greatly delight in the word, right? Man, I wouldn't want to be on this earth without the word of God. I love the word. The word of God is wonderful. It's a blessing to us. I could just go on and on and on and on about the word of God. It is so awesome, and I'm thankful that we have it. But that's the reason this person is blessed, is because they greatly delight in his commandments. And what are the results of that? Let's jump down to verse 6. In verse 6 it says this: surely this person will never be shaken. Ooh, wouldn't that be nice to be in a place where you're never shaken by the circumstances? You're never shaken by the things that are going on in the world, no matter if it's North Korea or if it's the government that they did this and you didn't like that, or if it's the economy, or if it's the house market, whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to be in a place? But can I tell you, there is a place that we can get into with the Word. See, now you're going to begin to see more and more why it's so important, why I encourage our church to read your chapter every day. Come on, what am I doing? We're wanting to get the Word of God on the inside of us, right? And as we get the Word of God and we begin to live that Word out of us and speak and release that Word out of us, that changes things, it makes things better. And he says here, surely this person will never be shaken. What person? The one that delights in the Word of God. Right? It says, surely this person will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Verse 7. And he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Did you hear that? No matter what we hear on the news, no matter what we hear about going on over here, going over there, we're not afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because we have the Word of God, right? We delight ourselves in the Word of God. Verse 7 says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Listen to this. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Steadfast means it's not moving. It's not going to move. Now, I'm not going to do this like I did when I was young and use a wall for an illustration. And I'm not going to use that pole the way I'm not going to jump and run into it like I did when I was young and poke a hole in the wall and all those kind of things. But I am going to use that pole right there in the middle of this room. That is a steadfast object. The chairs are not steadfast. They're movable. That wall, that pole is not going anywhere, right? And that's the way God wants us to be. And the way we become steadfast is in his word. Reading his word, getting his word on the inside of us, filling our hearts with his word is what makes us steadfast, immovable in our faith. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15 says, right? So he says that his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Look at verse 8. His heart is established. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. How about that? An established heart, a believer with an established heart on the Word of God, we're not afraid. We have no reason to be afraid. No matter what comes up, you're like, I'm not worried about it because I know what the Word says. Not worried about that. God's Word says that all is going to be well. Right? We're not concerned. We're not afraid. We're trusting in the Lord. Our heart is steadfast. It is established. We're not afraid. And then he goes on to say, until we see our desires are upon our enemies. But here's my question. How do we get an established heart? How do we get an established heart? Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to be reading out the New Living now. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8 tells us how to have an established heart. How to get our heart established on the Word of God. Okay, you ready? All right, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It's in reading out of the New Living. Says, study this book. I underline the word study. Now, don't let that word throw you. Don't let it make you feel like you've got a... you're right, Lord. I'm not going to say that. Thank you. Let's look at that word study, though, because that word study is letting us know this is not going to come. You're not going to get an established heart by a mere glance at the word. You know, I read that verse once today, and I'm not doing anything else with it. A believer with an established heart is not a believer that merely just goes to church to punch the church card. Right? It's not a person that just, you know, reads through their Bible so they can say they read their Bible. So when the pastor gets up like I do and says, how many read your chapter today? You didn't read your chapter just so you can raise your hand and not be embarrassed that you didn't read your chapter, right? No, you're the person that read your chapter because you don't need the pastor. You don't need PK to get up here and say, how many read their chapter today? Right? You read your chapter because you love the Word of God, man. You want the Word of God. You just want to fill your heart with the Word of God. So that's the kind of person that he's talking about, a person with an established heart. And he says, this is the way we establish our heart. We study this book of instruction. Study this book of instruction continually. Can you see the words that he's using here? Study. That right there tells you, you know, that it's not just a mere glance. It's not a one-time reading. I got this thing on my phone that it said this the other day, and it says, don't read 50 books one time, but read one book 50 times. Now, there's an interesting thought. Don't read 50 books one time. Why? Because you're just getting a little information and you're moving on. But what if you read one book 50 times? Don't read a scripture once. What if you read that one scripture 50 times? Don't read 50 scriptures once. But what if we read one scripture 50 times? Right? You're going to see how important that becomes as we move along in this, though we are going to be moving quickly. But it says here, study this book of instruction. What book is he talking about? Capital B, capital I? He's talking about the Word of God. Study this book of instruction. You know, some people, you know, made this little acronym out of the word Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Man, this right here is just telling us what the kingdom of God is going to be like for eternity. Right? Basic instructions. So we need to study this book of instruction and then he uses this word continually. Now, most people would pretty much know that study is something you do. If you want to master a craft, or you want to master a class, or you want to do really well in a class, and you're not just going to study the first day of the class, but it's going to be kind of a continual thing. But he uses this word again, study continually. How do we establish our hearts on the word? We study this book of instruction continually. Now watch this. Meditate. He goes on to say, meditate. Listen to this. On it, day and night. So he's talking about, man, you want to get your heart established. If you want to get beyond the point of just simply merely memorizing a few scriptures, but you want to get your heart established on the word, then you got to study this book of instruction. You meditate on this book of instruction day and night. So this is kind of like an ongoing, I mean, we're talking about people who want to be established on the word. What other kind of people we're talking about? We're talking about the people who want their heart established so that they're never afraid. Remember what it said in Psalms? So that they're never afraid. They're never afraid. Right? They delight themselves in the law of the Lord. They delight themselves in the word of God. And that they're never afraid of evil tidings, right? They will never be shaken. They're going to be established, right? Their hearts are established and steadfast on the word of God. Well, let's look at this word meditate. Well, let me finish that scripture and then we'll look at the word meditate. It goes on to say, so study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, everybody say only then. Did you hear that word? Only then what? Only then, after you have studied this book of instruction continually, only then, after you've meditated on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Hallelujah. So this is telling us that we've got to, we can't treat the Word of God and treat our Christian walk as just a hobby, something we just do on the side. Well, I've got my real life and then I've got my Christian life. No, your Christian life is your life. I was just in my office and I was praying and I said, Father, I thank you so much for my family. I thank you for my wife and my son. Oh my gosh, what a blessing to have them as my family. But God, they are part of my life, but they're not my life. You are my life. Help me, Lord, to get to where you are my life. You are my, I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for my son, Elijah. But they are a very valuable part of my life. But Jesus is my life. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, I could go on. It would be tough. But I could go on without my wife and my son. But I wouldn't even want to try to go on without Jesus. You know? So anyways, but this word meditate. So this word meditate means, what does it mean? It means to ponder. To mull it over again and again and again. So we're to meditate upon the scripture. You're like, now PK, are you telling me that I got a job, I got family. You telling me I got to meditate day and night upon the scripture? I ain't got time to meditate upon the scriptures day and night. Maybe that's what they pay you to do is meditate all day. But I get paid to do a job, and I got a husband, I got a wife, I got kids, I got all this stuff going on. I ain't got time to meditate. Let me ask you this, do you have time to worry? Do you have time to be concerned about where the next paycheck's going to come from? Do you have time to be concerned about, are you going to have enough to pay your bills this month? Or do you have time to be concerned about your children? Do you have time to be worried about this and worried about that? Because if you're worrying, you're meditating. If you're worrying, you are meditating. Worry is meditating on what the devil says. And what we're trying to teach you tonight is not to worry, but to meditate on what God says. So if we've got time to worry, we have time to meditate on the Word of God. Most people worry while they're working. Most people are working hard because they're worried, right? So listen, if we've got time to worry, if we've got time to think about the things the devil is putting in our head to try to get us knocked off of our faith walk with God, then we've got time to meditate on the Word of God. What if instead of worrying, what if instead of meditating on that negative thought the enemy puts in your mind, what if you began to get a scripture every morning and you read that scripture and that's what you made yourself think on that every time. Even when the enemy's trying to give you thoughts of worry, you begin to, no, I'm going to think on this scripture. Right? Study to show yourself what is that? 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a person that needeth not be ashamed, correctly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Meditate day and night on the scriptures. Listen, worry comes when the devil plants a seed or a thought in your mind. So right there, so now the enemy comes in and he plants this seed. He gives you this thought, this negative thought that you know you're going to get laid off or you're going to get sick. You got all these people are getting colds and flus and everything around you. It's just a matter of time before it gets to you. And the enemy tells you all these negative things. Maybe you're trying to get a house like we are. And you're just like, and the enemy's like, yeah, have you seen the market? There's no way you're going to get a house. But you know, that's when you got to tell him, devil, shut up. No, Father, I thank you that you will supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God doesn't even say it. He doesn't even say it's according to this. Well, PK, you just got to understand, man, the market is the market and the market is the way it is. And I only get so much money. I am not restricted by how much money an employer pays me every month. He didn't say that. He didn't say, but my God will supply all of your need according to the market. He said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, but worrying is meditating on what the devil says. And what happens is when the enemy presents them with a thought, the worry is started by a seed or a thought that the enemy plants in our mind. What happens is when we hear that thought and we begin to think or meditate on that thought, we let that thought go over and over in our mind, and then we start speaking that thing. When you start speaking that negative thought, now the enemy's starting to build block upon block upon block and upon block, and he's putting you in a stronghold of what that thought was. Right? And then here, God's got to send somebody or something's got to happen where the Bible says that even though we have these, that God, His weapons are mighty to tear down strongholds. But I don't ever want to have a stronghold he has to tear down. Amen? And we can do this by getting our hearts established and steadfast, trusting in the Lord, having our hearts established on his word. Now, I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm just going to quote this scripture to you. Job chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, "For the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." What got Job in so much trouble is because of the, he says it himself. He says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Well, let me ask this question. If you can greatly fear something, is it possible to greatly faith something? If it can be greatly feared, then it can be greatly faithed. Now, I know that kind of weird word, it's a weird way of saying it with our American language, but think about it. If something can be greatly feared, then it can be greatly faithed. If it can be greatly feared, if we can get to the point where we are terribly afraid that the enemy, the thoughts that the enemy put in our mind are actually going to come to pass, what if we greatly faith that the things that God put in our heart would actually come to pass? So instead of greatly fearing something, because we know from what Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. But did you know that if you greatly faith something, that those thoughts can come upon you? Come on. Hallelujah. That is so encouraging to me that, well, man, if fear can be so, if I can greatly fear something and it will happen to me, then I can greatly faith something and it's going to happen to me. What is fear? Fear is false evidence against reality. Most people are worried about stuff that has never even happened yet. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance, the proof, the title deed of things we do not see with the natural eye." What are we saying? We're saying, well, if fear is false evidence against reality, then faith is believing God against what it looks like, that what he said will actually come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. Except that's not against a false reality. That's against that. That's standing in favor of a true reality. Faith is a very real thing. And it will work effectually on our behalf if we will trust in him. Listen to this. Meditating, this is the way the Lord gave me this. He gave me this phrase just a little bit earlier today. He said, meditating is painting the image on your mind and in your heart of what your life will be like. I'm going to read that again real slow. That's worth writing down. That's possibly even a tweet. Right? Meditating is painting the image on your mind and in your heart of what your life will look like. Right? It doesn't matter. Whatever you're meditating on, that's what your life, you are actually painting an image. It's like your heart is this canvas. And what you meditate on, it's like you're taking a paintbrush and you're painting the image of what you're meditating on. You're painting that image on, in your mind and on your heart. And that's what will come to pass in your life. We know that's true because he says here over in Joshua chapter 1:8, he says, study this word of instruction. And he says, meditate on it day and night. Then your way will be made prosperous. Why is it being made prosperous? Because he told you what to meditate on. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Then, only then, will you be made prosperous. So that tells me that if I'm not meditating on the word of God, then I'm meditating on something that's not the word of God. And if I'm meditating on that, then my way will never be prosperous. My way will never be successful. Right? So we've been given the answer. I mean, this is like the test that we've given all the answers to. He says, here you, oh, this is what you need to do. Meditate. Oh, by the way, this is what you need to meditate on. And this is what's going to happen if you do meditate on what I tell you to meditate on. Amen. Isn't that good? Meditating is painting the image on your mind and in your heart of what your life will look like. Here's the thing. What you meditate on determines what that image is. What you meditate on, what you choose to allow your mind to think about, what you choose to meditate on, remember what meditate means? It means to ponder. It means to mull it over and over and over and over again. What you choose to think about over and over and over and over again will determine what your life will look like. Remember, meditating is painting the image on your mind and in your heart of what your life will look like. What you meditate on will determine what that image is. Isn't that powerful? But that's really good news, isn't it? Because we know that we can make the choice. Talking about having the power of direction for your own life, we can make the choice of what we meditate on. People say, well, I can't help but worry. Yes, you can. You're the one making the choice of what you're thinking on. And what you think on is painting the image in your mind and in your heart of what your life will become. What you meditate on, determines what your life will be like. Amen. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'm almost done with the message, and I'll give you a little bit of homework, and we're done. Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. It's going to sound a lot like Psalm 112, and it's going to sound a lot like Joshua 1:8. But the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three of witnesses, let every word be established. So I'm making sure that this is an established word from the word in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 1, verse 1 says this in the New Living. It says, oh, the joys. We've been talking about joy on Sunday mornings, right? Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Let me change one word and that'll help you. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the world, of the news, right? Of the report in this world. Bible says, whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The Lord has a report. It's called the Word of God. And when we get our hearts established on His Word, and you're learning tonight how, so you can never tell me from this point on forward, I just don't know how to get my heart established. I'm telling you tonight that it needs to be established. I'm telling you how to get it established, and I'm telling you what it needs to be established on. And I've even showed you what the results of getting established on the Word is. Man, that is a good 4-point whammy jammy right there for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Whammy jammy. I'll take that one. Put that in your dictionary. Okay. Love it. Okay, but he says right here in verse 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners. In other words, it doesn't mean you can't talk to the unbelieving. We need to go do that, right? We are the light of the world. In fact, we're the only light that this world has. People that don't know God can't be the light of the world. They're living in darkness themselves. What it does mean is don't sit around with people that don't know God, and even believers or people who have accepted Christ but are talking nothing but doubt and unbelief. Don't stand around having conversation and agreeing with all their negative garbage. Enough with this cooler talk, you know what I mean? You're at the workplace and everybody starts talking about all this and all that and everything's negative. And then all of a sudden, here you are, you're the light of the world, and you're over going, oh, you know what, that's the same thing happened to me. You know, I've been sick for 14 years. No, quit doing that. Don't jump in and chime in with the negative ways of the world. Come on, they're looking for us to be the light. What is the light? The light shows people a different path. Light helps us to see something that we didn't see before. When they're talking all this negative stuff, we need to start, oh man, can I tell you, I used to be like that. I used to suffer with those things. I used to go through that. But can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? What an opportunity to be a light. Amen. We're called the light of the world because we're supposed to show something that they can't see without us. Can you realize how valuable you are in this earth? How important you are, because you are the light of the world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. Love, love, love it. Now listen to this. He says, or don't join in with the mockers. Don't go around mocking people with other people, right? We're not mockers, right? We're word carriers, man. We're hope carriers. We're light distributors. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. But they, says, all the joys of, okay, verse 1, just a verse part, and then I'm going to jump down so we put it all together. All the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand with sinners, or join with the mockers. But, see, there are some good buts in the Bible, right? But they delight. All the joys of those who delight in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night. Didn't say day or night. Meditating day and night. Come on, we'll get to the homework in just a moment. They are, listen, what else does it say? It says the ones that are the joys of those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They, those are the ones that are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing the fruit. I noticed this, the Lord really pointed this out. Most trees bear fruit in their season, doesn't it? But this right here says those that have their joy is in the Lord, right? Their joy is delighting in the law of God, the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Bearing fruit. So in other words, we're always bearing fruit. There's never a time when the believer is supposed to look like the dry, dead season. No, we're supposed to always be bearing good fruit for the Lord. Amen. And then he goes on and says this, their leaves never wither. There is no winters in the life of a believer. Come on. Well, you guys are about to shout me down. I can get blown back here. Says their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. What is he describing here? The person whose heart is established on the Word. Having our hearts established on the Word. Amen? So here comes your homework. Okay, I'm done with the message for tonight, at least. But I do have some homework for you. And I even gave you the answers. So here we go, okay? This is going to be easy for you. every morning, what if every morning you got up, you read a scripture, and then you took that scripture and you meditated, mulled it over again and again and again. You pondered that scripture all the way throughout the day. What if you did that every morning? Just one scripture, right? You get up, you read a little bit, you take one scripture, and hey, you know, I mean, the Bible talks about studying and meditating day and night. What if even the night before you could flip through, you could find a scripture, and you could go ahead and write that down, and you could put it with your purse or put it with your wallet or put it in your car or put it somewhere where you're going to have it with you, and you kept that verse through with you throughout the whole next day. And all throughout that day, you're every time you get an opportunity, you pick that up and you look at it, and you just mull it over. And you're driving to work thinking about that scripture. You're clocking in thinking about that scripture. You're going to school thinking that scripture. You're going grocery shopping thinking about that scripture. You've even got that thing written right in the middle of your grocery list. You're going down, I need some bread. I need some eggs. I need some butter. Ooh, I need some faith. Praise God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay, I need some jam. I need some ketchup, whatever. Oh, I need that scripture too, you know. You just put them everywhere you go. I mean, you're just, plaster that word everywhere you go to where you're always meditating. Put it on your phone. Come on, make it your homepage. Whatever you need to do, right? To get this word. So with that said, the Lord prompted me. I'm going to even help you out, and I'm going to give you five what I call jump starter scriptures. You don't even have to go look this up yourself, right? Go look them up. But I'm going to tell you where they're at. I'm going to tell you what they say. Man, what an amazing Bible instructor I am. Man, I'm such a wonderful teacher. I am your favorite Bible teacher, right? Come on. I'm telling you what to do, and then I'm giving you all the answers. Amen. So here we go. Answer number one. You ready? Jumpstart verse number one, 1 John 4:4, and I'm going to be reading it out of the New King James, and then I'm going to tell you how you can meditate upon it. Right? 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And this is how you can just meditate upon this scripture all day, especially when the enemy starts. Maybe you get quiet and the enemy starts throwing negative thoughts. You go, no. And you get that junk out of there and you start speaking this scripture. You start mulling it over. That word meditate also means to mutter. In the United States, we call it talking to ourselves. You ever done that? I do it quite frequently. My wife will tell you. Right? So if we're going to be talking, we might as well be talking the word. Amen. So this is what you can say. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's cool. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you're just thinking about this all day long. Right? You get in your car and you look at your speedometer and there's a little sticky note there that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in. Don't put it on your mirror. You might need that. Right? But put it wherever. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your microwave door. Put it on your oven door. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your sink knob. You know, whatever you need to do. You say, man, that seems like a lot of activity. Well, man, people are always doing a lot of activity to do other things. Don't you think this would be worth it to get your heart established? Not to mention all the times, I mean, as you're writing it down, I mean, you're writing and thinking it. Right? Do I have to give you 50 sentences? Right? You remember the principal will always tell you when you're in grade school, you're going to have to write 50 sentences. I will not hit little Johnny. Well, how about, here's 50 sentences. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no, you can't grab five pencils, tape them together so you're writing five sentences at one time. Right? All the little tricks of the trade there. I'm exposing our young people, right? All right, so what about, all right, let's give you a jump start number two. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. So what if you was to be thinking and mulling this over all the time? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say about all these wonderful things? If God is for us, who in the world can stand against us?" Who can even be against us? What is that saying? That's saying, hey, if God's for me, there ain't nobody in the world bigger than God. So if God's for me and he's helping me to overcome, then there ain't nothing in the world big enough to make me undergo. Right? So what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? What if you meditated on that all day long? Right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Right? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We're talking about taking these verses and first thing in the morning, you're reading them and you're writing the night before you get you a little sticky notey pad. It, man, them things are cheap. You put them out there, you write that out, you just go around sticking them everywhere. Right? And you're looking at, if you have to, put it off to the side of your mirror. So as you look up to see if there's anybody behind you, you're like, oh yeah, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Just don't put it to where you can't see. I don't want you getting a wreck. All right? I don't want to come speaking healing scriptures over you. Okay. Hallelujah. For I can do everything through Christ, which strengthens me. Here's this one and one more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Instead of going around all day, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about those bills. Oh man, I don't even know if I'm going to have enough money to get to the end of the month. Oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about that thing. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I don't even have enough money to buy groceries. Instead of doing all that, no. But Father, I thank you that you will supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And see, you'll eventually get to the place where these are things you don't even have to think about these things. I mean, as you're meditating upon these scriptures, you are getting them deeply embedded into your heart. You are establishing your heart on the Word of God. And then they become just automatic responses. What do we call it? Second nature. Right? I mean, when something happens, boom, you just boom. You know, it becomes your conditional response. When something happens, what's your conditional response? A lot of people's conditional response is worry. Something happens, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about that? But your conditional response, same thing happens to you, you hear about it or whatever, you're like, well, God's got it. Surely he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am here. If God be for me, hey, you know what? Who in the world can stand against me? Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. These things become automatic, man. Just that's when you know your heart is getting established, when it just automatically begins to flow out of your mouth. But if you never put it in there and you never establish your heart on the Word, it's not going to ever get to that point. One more and then I'm done. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 out of the New King James, it says it this way. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What if you declare that all the time and said, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so this, I'm so that. Instead of doing all that kind of stuff, what if you just begin to declare, for God has not given me a spirit of fear. When the enemy tries to give you thoughts and it's trying to develop fear in you, you say, nope, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that your word tells me that you have not given me a spirit of fear. And remember, you are meditating this. You are mulling this over and over and over. You're actually muttering it. I understand if you're in the middle of a conversation with somebody and to stop in the middle of that and to say something like this might kind of be a freaky to them. But you know what? Hey, you do whatever you got to do. But I will not say you have to do that all the time. But I will say that when you get those opportunities, why do you want to even speak it out loud? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing should come by the Word of God. And that'll be exactly what you're doing, right? So getting our hearts established on the Word. Amen? Getting our hearts established on the Word. Man, there is no better life. The Bible, he pointed it out. He says, hey, the people who get their hearts established, the people who delight greatly in the law of the Lord, they're not going to be afraid of any evil news. That's what tidings are. It's news, right? So we won't be afraid of any evil news. And there is no bad news that knocks us off track, right? No, we're just like, glory to God. God, you are my defender. You're my protector. You're my God. I trust in you. Hallelujah. See, that's language of a believer that has an established heart on the Word of God. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this tonight? Wasn't that good? Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you guys, take those scriptures, the one that I did. And as you're reading your Bible, as you're reading your word, you'll come across other ones. Jot them down so you can pull them out and go, okay, you know what? Monday, I'm gonna meditate on that one. Tuesday, I'm going to meditate on that one. Wednesday, I'm going to begin to make you a meditation file. Put it in your phone. Put it on an index card if you have to, if you don't like technology, whatever. Put it somewhere where you're just creating a file of these scriptures. You can just go, and you'll never get to the point where you go, well, I ran out of scriptures. Go back to the ones that you've quoted already, man. Meditate on those again, right? You could take these five and do them every day. Pick a different one, right? As you're reading, another one's going to jump out and it speaks to your heart. I'm going to jot that one down, throw it in on the list, and that next day you're going to meditate on that one. But I want to encourage you guys, get your hearts established on the Word of God. Meditate day and night. Study this book of instruction. Meditate on it day and night. Only then will your way be made prosperous, and only then will you have good success. Was that good?
Yep.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Heather.